It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 9, and we're going to read from verse 1 down through verse 12. And so please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. And again, we'll read down through verse 12. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Like to call us, our phone number is 217-847-2717. If you would like to check our email, our website out, it is parkviewbiblechurch.org, and that's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to send us an email, it's just parkviewbible@gmail.com. Now, I hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. And we're going to again read from Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. He opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as a smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared to battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of a woman, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. They had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. They had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start the study. Father, thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time. It's just such a precious time to come and open your word and fellowship over it. Please, that you will just guide and lead us through your precious word. It's so exciting, dear Lord, to know your word and to be able to open your book and to study it together with these folks. And so I just ask that our ears be open, that we can hear from you, that we'll see through your precious word exactly what you would have us to know and to learn. And so please, today, just touch every heart. Those who do not know you as their Savior, that today they will come and they'll be saved, born again. Please, dear Lord, today that they'll be saved. And Father, those that maybe they've never really studied the Scripture and your precious word, have them to see and to realize the power and the strength and the victory that can be had through your precious word. And so please today now, would you guide and lead us that we may all either come to know and then grow, or just grow if we already know you as our Lord and Savior. So we just thank you for this study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we look at these words here, and we've covered quite well the first verse, and so we're going to start the second verse. Revelation chapter 9, verse 2, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as a smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. You know, when the angel unlocked, when he unlocked this bottomless pit. Smoke from this great furnace that is in the center of the earth. The smoke will just come from it, and it's real smoke. And this smoke will completely block or black out the sun, and there will be darkness over all the land. You know, when Jesus hung on the cross, the sun refused to shine, and that was for 3 hours. Here the sun's shining, but this smoke of God's judgment is so dark and so black, and it just blocks it all out. And we have, according to the third verse then, that's kind of covers verse 2, and then verse 3, there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and it was, and unto them was given power as scorpions of the earth have power. So out of this smoke comes these millions of locusts. Millions of locusts. And they're all going to come, and they're going to come out of this smoke. Actually, out of hell is where they're coming from. They're coming from hell. We know that in Numbers chapter 21, verse 6, that he sent a fiery serpent among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Well, here, these are fiery serpents, and these are actually demon locusts is what they are. And they're going to have the power to sting men like a scorpion does here on earth. This is not something that's symbolic, and so don't try to make it something other than literal, because we have a description of what they look like, and we have a complete description of what they're going to do. So it is not to be spiritualized. It is not a symbol. It is something that's going to take place literally. The Bible tells us that they have the power to sting like scorpions of the earth. You know, after a person is stung by a scorpion, in just a matter of moments, that person turns black and blue and goes into convulsions and great pain and great agony. And that's what comes almost immediately after the scorpion is stung. And what does it say? It is going to do, have the power as scorpions of the earth have power. And so it's going to be very, very similar. Even though they are, you know, devil's helpers, you know, God is still in control. And God commands them not to hurt certain things. Now let's look at verse 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And so even though this is the devils and their demons, God, understand that God is still in control, and he can set the boundaries. You say, well, then why does he let these demons, these locust demons, come and bring such pain and suffering upon people? Because these people have rejected Jesus Christ. You need to understand that. They have rejected Jesus Christ. And when you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, then there is no answer for you. You can be involved in, I don't care how many church services and how much religion that you have in you, it doesn't matter. What matters is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And so they are here. The torment has a time period, and that is 5 months. And there will be 5 months of pain and agony. And these 5 months, the scorpions, these evil creatures, are going to be present. Men will swell up, they'll hurt, they'll beg, they'll scream, but they cannot die. They cannot die. The sixth verse tells us, and in those days shall men seek death, shall not find it, shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Seek death and shall not find it. Can we understand these words? no matter what these people do, if they take guns and shoot themselves or shoot others, they won't die. The razors and sever their arteries, they won't die. They can eat all kinds of poison, and they won't die. They can break their necks, and their heart will not stop. What will come with this mutilating of the body that will come, because they're going to try to kill themselves, and they can't. But the only thing that's going to come is greater pain. More pain. And yet never through any of this, there's going to be any repentance. See, this is judgment. You can say today, I don't believe in God. And you can say today that this land that we live in isn't a Christian nation. Well, you can say all those things, but there's going to be a day that God's going to prove that He is the Creator, that this world is only 6,000 years old, not the millions or billions of years old that the scientists tell us. It's very simple. It's just 6,000 years old. God created it. He spoke it into existence. All the things that we have that the scientists have to try to figure out how they come about, they're not taking into consideration God made it that way. They just know how nature performs. And so if in order to make coal or a diamond or something like that, it would have to be this many millions or billions of years old. It is all 6,000 years old is all the longer it is. Spoken into existence over 6 days, rested on the seventh. All these wonderful words that our God tells us. These men will desire, will fall on their faces, and they will beg God to kill them. Beg God to kill them. They have no idea what they're in for, because the lake of fire is where they're going to spend eternity. And that's going to be nothing. I mean, it's going to be 10 times worse, 1,000 times worse, plus it's for eternity. This is just 5 months. But they'll beg God that God would kill them instead of repenting and turn. Let me die. That'll be their cry. Again, they'll mutilate their bodies, but they cannot die. Shoot themselves, only bring more pain, no death. Will you be one of those if we go into this tribulation period? Because it could happen any time. Will you be one of those that fall on their face and beg God to kill you? Will you be one of those that mutilate your body and try to kill yourself and can't? You going to be one of those that seek death but can't find it? My dear friend, there's no escape, no escape from the wrath of God. None whatsoever. There is no escape. Let's take a look now at what these creatures look like. In those days, again, verse 6, shall men seek death and shall not find it, desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And verse 7, the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. Their heads were as it were crowns like gold. Their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of woman. Their teeth were as the teeth of lions. They had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and sound, the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails likened to scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. This army of demon locusts, straight out of hell, is described here from the 7th verse through the 10th verse. Body like horses prepared for battle. would seem that they're equipped with armor. In some lands, locusts are called little horses. And then it says, like, it had on their heads crowns of gold. It was similar to that, like that. John, there was no words in our language that could explain or describe what they are. They had faces like a man, long flowing hair like a woman. They had jagged, sharp teeth like a lion. And they had breastplates of iron. What a creature. Their wings as they sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. Tails likened to scorpions with stings in their tails. They could not be destroyed. They could not be destroyed. What a creature. What a wicked creature. Nothing can keep them out. Nothing can keep them away. Verse 11. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue was Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. This great army of locusts, and the description that was given, the like a scorpion, a demon locust, what a wicked, very wicked picture we have here. And in this great army of locusts, they found themselves very organized. You see, they had a king, and he personally led his army of tormentors. And this leader is none other than the devil himself. The word Abaddon means destruction. It means destruction. Apollyon means destroyer. So you see, the one that's coming, the king over them, the angel of the bottom of the pit, whose name in the Hebrew and the Greek means destruction and destroyer. That's what we have in this leader. The devil is a destroyer of men's souls, a destroyer of men's physical lives as well. You know, to be here that day, to be on this earth during this tribulation period and the releasing of this first woe, it'll be something like you've never seen before, never heard before. If you look out your window, and all of a sudden you're faced with this most hideous beast that you've ever seen in your life. Face like a man, hair like a woman. Opens its mouth and you see teeth sharp like a lion. Breast of this demon was like iron. The sound when they fly, the sound when they move. It's unreal. Sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. What a fearful sound. All will go screaming for their lives. Many will choose to die. And again, can't. Don't forget that. Can't die. This is literal. This is not just some spiritual picture for you to take a look at. This is literal. You need to know that. You need to see that. And then we have here in this 12th verse, one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. As if one woe wasn't enough, here comes another. And we see in the 13th verse, and we didn't read this far, we'll continue now. And the sixth angel sounded, I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay a third part of the men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. That would be 200 million, if you're good with math. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having a breastplate of jacinth, and brimstone, and heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was a third part of men killed by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone, and which issued out their mouths. For the power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and their heads, and with them they do hurt. Now we're going to, again, stop reading there. We probably won't get that far today. But as we come with another judgment, one woe, as the scripture says, and now we come and we're looking at this sixth trumpet as it sounded. I heard the voice of four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Now in the tabernacle, back in the tabernacle, back in the days of Moses, Joshua, there were two altars. One stood outside in the courtyard, and the other stood within the holy place, just outside of the veil, just on this side of the veil, you might say, towards the other altar. The golden altar outside of the veil is referred to in Revelation two times, in that we have 8:3 and 9:13. And so here we are with 9:13 and 8:3. Let me read it for you. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And so we find that altar, this incense altar, golden altar, prayer altar, it's all referred to, and it's all the same altar. And so we have that is listed here. Now let's look at the brazen altar. And that altar is spoken of six times in Revelation. Now we say the brazen altar, one is made of brass, the other is made of gold. The golden altar in the holy place, next to the veil, the brazen altar, now it's outside in the courtyard, and it's an altar for sacrifice. The golden altar is for the burning of incense and the literally the prayers pour over into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. Now, the four golden horns of the altar, every morning and every evening, incense was burned on the golden altar in the holy place, except on the Day of Atonement. The blood of the sacrificial animal was put upon the four golden horns of the altar. As I've said so many times, it's all about the blood. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what a picture we have down through His precious Word, showing us, explaining to us how important this is. Now, let's take a look at Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 16. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And we're going to go to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16. And we're going to read verses 18 and 19. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 18. He shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord, and make an atonement for it, and shall take the blood of the bullock and the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it, and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. It's incense upon the altar, this golden altar. It was said to represent the accomplishments, the worth, the value of the Lord Jesus. Now, the brazen altar, where the blood was shed, points to the cross and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. If you've never studied the tabernacle, it is a tremendous study, tremendous study. Just very quickly to kind of bring you up to speed just a little bit, if you've never studied it, you come out into the courtyard and the first piece of furniture that you find is this brazen altar. Because you see, you can't get to God. You can't get to God the Father without going through the Son, the Lord Jesus. And the only way you can come to the Son, the Lord Jesus, is to accept His offering, His sacrifice that He offered for you. It's the only way you can have it. And so you need to start and come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that He died on the cross of Calvary and took your sin away. What a wonderful opportunity. That's first. The only other piece of furniture out in the courtyard is a brazen laver. And that's where we come with the washing of the Word. So we come, we study the Word, and yes, we come by faith to the Lord Jesus at the cross, raise an altar. But then the cleansing, the work begins. And this work of making us more like Jesus, and that comes from this laver. This laver was made out of the mirrors of all the Jewish women. And so when you look down in there, you really see yourself. And what a good way to see who you are and kind of how ugly we are when we look into the mirror and see ourselves. And so we have that. And then we go into the tabernacle, the holy place, the first room. There's two rooms. It's a total of 45 feet long and 15 foot wide and 15 foot tall. But the first room is just 30 foot by 15 by 15. In there we have a beautiful golden, solid gold lampstand. Across the other side is a table of showbread. And then right in the center is this golden altar, the incense altar. And so that's the three pieces of furniture there. The lampstand, oil in the lampstand, stands for the Holy Spirit. The lampstand itself and its light that it produces by the power of the oil, the power of the Holy Spirit, we see the beautiful power and necessity of the Lord Jesus to learn His Word. And so the washing is outside in the brazen altar, but then we come in to the table of showbread, and there's food there for us. And so we feed up on the Word of God. And then by doing that, by studying the Word, then we come to this incense altar, and our prayers are lifted up, and it goes into the presence of God. Now, because of the Lord Jesus, now we can go right on into the Holy of Holies, and the High Priest did that once a year on the Day of Atonement that we have read about. On the Day of Atonement, he goes in and he sprinkles the blood, not only puts the blood on the golden altar, the incense altar, he also takes and puts the blood up on the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. And that's the last piece of furniture. What a work. It always requires the blood. And so you see, as we have looked now at this, it really just got started with this 13th verse, I want you to see a little bit about the tabernacle back in the book of Leviticus, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Study those books if you would, please. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?